last week we started our fourth lesson talking about the services of the church. The services of the church. And Hebrews 10:25, the Bible, of course, tells us that was our jumping off point. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And last week, we looked at the place and we looked at the purpose of the church. The place and the purpose of the church. Now, today, we want to get into number three, and that's on the, should be on the back page of your first sheet there. The back page of your first sheet. And we want to look at the pattern of the church. The pattern of the church. And when it comes to a local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church, there must be certain ingredients in a church in order for the Christian to know that it is following the principles laid out in the Bible. And one of the most important things you have to do when looking for a church, and this is a good piece of advice, say someday the Lord leads you somewhere else, and maybe he leads you to move from Sayre or the area. One of the things you should always look for, you should look for these ingredients in the church. You shouldn't look for, you know, fellowship is good. Making friends is good. Making connections are good. But those are secondary to what a church should be. If the church has these things we're going to look at, then you're going to be able to make those connections. You're going to be able to make those friendships. And that's going to be somewhere where you're able to plug in and grow and then help the church grow. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we were in the book of, and we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians on Wednesday nights. And one of the things we said was that churches like ours, you know, smaller churches, not a lot of people, not a lot of resources necessarily. The reason we don't necessarily see this big, gigantic growth is because when people come in, you know, they're looking for certain things in a church. They're looking for these things we're going to look at, but they're also looking for that fellowship. They're looking for that connection. They're looking for things for their kids. And unfortunately, we live in a society today where they want to come into a place where everything's already pre-established. And when someone comes in, a new person, a new visitor, they come in with a bunch of kids, and they might see, well, we don't have anything going just yet, but we're, you know, we're trying, but they're more inclined to go to the church that already has something pre-established. So that's why it's very important for us to, you know, get into the mindset of, okay, and we've seen this, it's going to take some work, it's going to take some time. You've heard me tell the story, you know, when we were in Philadelphia, it took us 5 years to build up our youth group from about five kids. By the time I left Philly and got married to Mandy in 2015, we were running about 50 kids. But it took time. It took everybody working together. It took time going out and inviting them, hosting different events. I mean, one Friday night, we just had someone bring an Xbox. We had we watched the Lego movie. We ordered a bunch of pizza. And, you know, it was just a safe place for the kids. There was no Bible lesson. There was no spiritual emphasis necessarily, but they were in a church, they were in a safe space, and they were able to make that connection. Then, of course, we had the courtyard where they could go out, they could play basketball, that sort of thing. And so this is the pattern we need to look at. So the very first thing we need to look for, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 for a majority of this section. Who would like to read there? Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Miss Sandy?
Then they were gladly received, as were baptized in the same day. They were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued to steadfast in the hospitality, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon them, and saw, and many wondered, and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all had things in common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had needs. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple of breaking of bread from the house to house. They eat their meat and gladly and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such
All right. Thank you there, Ms. Sandy. So here it is. Here we see the pattern from the local or from the early church. And the book of Acts really details for us the birthday of the church, the birthplace of the church. Now, there's two schools of thought when it comes to when the church actually started. Some teach that the church started with Jesus' earthly ministry in Matthew, where Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then there are some that they believe that the church started at Pentecost. We believe the church started with Jesus' earthly ministry there in Matthew, where Jesus said, "And I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So the very first thing, though, that the church needs is Bible teaching. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what?
Doctrine.
That's right. So the very first thing that the church needs to do for you is to teach you the Bible. Teach you what the Bible says, and not a man's opinion, this is what I think, but no, this is what the Bible says. You know, you come to me with a topic or a question, and I can give you my opinion, but I should also, 90% of that should be the Bible. And if I do give you my opinion, make it clear that, okay, this is my opinion, but this is what the Bible says. Ms. Sandy?
1 year ago, the 4th of July, I came, and I searched it out first to make sure the doctrine was what I was following before I came.
That's right.
It's so important to make sure it was the same.
That's right. And, you know, and that's actually a good point there, because and sometimes I get asked, well, why do we as a church, have a church website? And because 9 times out of 10, people are going to check the church out before they ever come into the church. And so that's why we have a church face or a church website, and our doctrine is listed on there. That's why we have a Facebook page, and that's why, the sermons are posted. And so folks can go on, they can listen, they can see and say, okay, does this line up with the Bible? Is this true? Is this the church for me? And so Bible teaching, the very first thing, you need to make sure the doctrine of the church is right. The doctrine is true. But then secondly, Christian fellowship. The church needs fellowship. When we got to our church there in Oklahoma, the previous pastor had been there about 21 years. And, as you get longer into the place, you start to, grow older. You start to slow down a little bit. You're not as, and we see it in the Bible. You're not as energetic towards the end of something as you are towards the beginning of something. And so by the time we had gotten there, really, for the most part, there was no fellowship. There was no events. There was no, there really was nothing going on. And one of the things that the folks wanted, they were craving that fellowship, because it's one thing to come to church for, the teaching and for the preaching and for all the rest. But every now and again, you need that time where you can just get together, talk, visit, fellowship, cut up, laugh and enjoy one another outside of the confines of, spirituality, so to speak. But while also having Christian fellowship that is different than what the world offers us, because when we go out into the world, the world can, fellowship with you 1 minute, but then turn around and stab you in the back the next. Now, that's not to say that doesn't happen in the church. It shouldn't happen in the church. It does, but the church should be different than the world. And so we should be able to come in here, and, there's a song we sing. It's called The Family of God. When one has a heartache, we all share their tears. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And so if somebody is hurting, we ought to hurt with them. If somebody is rejoicing with something, we ought to rejoice with them. And so we need that Christian fellowship. And then C, it ought to be the Lord's Supper. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and in breaking of bread. That's talking about, of course, the Lord's Supper. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper today. Now, there's three schools of thought when it comes to the Lord's Supper. Number one, you have the concept of what is known as open communion, which means anybody that's anybody that can come in, and as long as they say they're a Christian, they can partake of the Lord's Supper. Then the second line of thought is close communion, which is they have to be a member of a church of like faith So another local, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching Baptist church. And then the third school of thought is that of closed communion, where just the particular members of that church can partake of the Lord's Supper. And so I lean somewhere in between those last two, where I will say that this Lord's Supper, because it was an ordinance given to the church, just like baptism was an ordinance given to the church. And so I will say, when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, that, you know, if you're not a member of this church, then perhaps you should refrain from taking the Lord's Supper here. But ultimately, it's between that person and the Lord. We don't police it. We don't, you know, as the, you know, the men are passing this plate, if they see someone that's a member, they're not going to slap their hand and, you know, like the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. Anyone remember that? No cracker for you. Come back 1 year. And no, we're not going to do that. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and God. But the church... That's right. That's right. That's right. And that's why we, before we partake, we give everybody that opportunity to just have that time of prayer. Where, because then some people, they'll say, well, I just won't take of it today. Well, no, we know from the Bible, it says, okay, confess your sin and then partake of it. Don't pass on it. But if there's sin in your life, say, okay, Lord, here's what happened this week. Forgive me. And then you can partake of the Lord's Supper. And so we see Bible teaching, Christian fellowship, the Lord's Supper. And then the church needs to be known for its prayer and in prayers. One of the things we need to be is a praying church. The church that's going to move forward is a church that it does so on its knees. We're going to, if we pray together, then, you know, we'll stick together. We'll stay together. And there's a lot of people that need prayer. There's a lot of people that need just encouragement and prayed for. And we need to pray for them. I mean, you never know when, you know, you're talking to somebody and you tell somebody, I'm praying for you. You don't know how encouraging that is to somebody to say, I'm praying for you. Or someone that, you know, someone tells you that they're praying for you. You know, that's encouraging because that means that you're on their mind. You're on their heart. And so the church needs to be a place of prayer. Not only that, it needs to be a place where a God is feared. Where God is feared. Acts 2:43, and blank came upon every soul. Fear. That's right. Now that fear, that's not talking about a, you know, a tremble in your boots type of fear. You know, that's talking about a reverence. So that word fear there, and most times when you see the word fear in the Bible, it's talking about reverence, where we have a certain reverence for God. And, you know, a couple weeks ago when my pastor was here, he made mention, you know, you don't call me reverend. And, you know, and especially around here, we see it a lot where pastors are referred to as reverend. And the Bible tells us in Psalm that reverend is his name. And so it belongs to God. So, you know, please don't ever call me reverend. Call me Pastor Robert, you know, Curly, you know, call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And but because reverend is his name, it belongs to God. And for us to take that on to ourselves, that's just not right. Right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, he doesn't want us to fear him because once we get saved, you know, we are now his child. And now, like Miss Sandy said, though, now, okay, now that he's our father, we have that reverence. We have that fear that if we get out of line, he's going to put us back in line. But, you know, it's a reverence. It's not that, you know, shaking your boots type of fear. He's not that type of God. And then we see there needs to be unity. Unity. Acts 2:44. And all that believed were what?
Together.
And had all things common. One of the things I've stressed since we've gotten to the church is the need for unity. The church needs to be unified. Because if the church is not unified, then we're not going to accomplish that which God would have us to accomplish. Then we see that the church ought to be a giving church, Acts 2:45, and sold their possessions and goods, and blank parted them to all men, as every man had need. Now, this verse here is not talking about giving of your tithes, your offerings, missions. While, yes, we ought to do those things, here it's talking about the church ought to be giving to people that have need. That's why we take the benevolence offering. That's why we have the food pantry. That's why we support missionaries. That's why, we try and help where we can. We just got a letter from Endless Mountains Pregnancy Center letting us know what we gave for this year. And that's why we do projects like that. And because there are people out there that you know, they need help. And the Bible tells us that if you're not able to help them physically, don't bother helping them spiritually, because they're going to reject the spiritual. No, you go, it's somebody that's hungry. You say, well, I can't really get you a meal, but let me tell you something that can really satisfy you. Listen, somebody that's hungry, they're gonna shut you off quicker than, you know, anything. It's like when you go out to a restaurant, and I see it on Facebook, I see it other places, and they think they're doing a good thing, but they're not. You know, they leave a tip, but it's not really a tip. It's a gospel tract that looks like money. And nowadays it comes in 50s and 100s. And so now they leave that on the, you know, folded up, and the waitress or waiter, they think they're getting a $50 tip or a $100 tip. And then they open it, and it's just the gospel. And they think they've done a good thing, but really what they've done is just really, you know, given a bad name to Christ. Given a bad name to the church. Given a bad name to, you know, Christians. I remember one time, Miss Annie? Pushing them away from God instead of bringing them closer. And I remember one time I saw something that, I guess the standard tip nowadays is 15%. Used to be 10%, and this one person wrote down on the receipt, why should I give you 15% when I only give God 10%, and didn't leave any tip? And I'm thinking to myself, you idiot. That is just pushing people away instead of bringing them closer together. Yeah, Michaela? Yep. Now the only thing wrong with that is don't fold it up inside the gospel tract, because you know, I've seen it happen that they might just pick it up and look at it instead of like reading it or opening it to see the tip. They'll just like crumple everything up. So you want to make sure that
we leave it in there so they can
see it. Yeah. And another word of advice. You know, and this has nothing to do with, you know, necessarily Christianity, but, or just having a good testimony. You know, if folks in the community know you're a, you're a Christian, please make sure that if you're going out to eat, make sure you can afford the tip. And I remember we just had the men's fellowship dinner. We forgot to tip, yes. So Saturday, Maddie and I went back, we had dinner, and we doubled the tip. And so same waitress, same everything. And so she understood. Joe had told the waitress, you know, I want to give a 20% tip. And he thought that they were going to add it on. But apparently they can't add it on. You have to add it on. And so yeah, communication error. That happens. That wasn't malicious. That was a simple, you know, forgetfulness. But, you know, we need to give. We need to have a giving church. And then we see faithful attendance, Acts 2:46, and they continuing
daily
with one accord in the temple. You know, we have it kind of easy today when it comes to church. We say, you know, there's an old saying, it takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Back in Bible times, they met daily. I mean, could you imagine having church daily every single day? I'm sorry, I love you, but I'd get sick of some of you daily. Everybody looked at Joe too. That's wonderful. And but they continued daily. And so we need that faithful attendance to church. And you know, there are, you know, folks today, they can't be here. They're traveling. They're sick. They're, you know, whatever. Those things are okay. They're, you know, they're providentially hindered. Some folks have to work. We understand that. But there needs to be some faithful attendance to church. And, you know, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And today we just have people that they view church as just kind of, you know, optional, or they view church as, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. Or no, the Bible commands us to be in church, to be here and just get closer to the Lord. But
any tips on that?
What's that?
Bringing people back like that?
Actually, that's a good question. The best way to do it, just stay after them. And the best way is to have multiple people reach out to them. That's why we, and I actually was going to preach a message this morning on strays. Because people that should be here, that know they ought to be here, whether they think it, accept it, know it, believe it, whatever the case may be, but if they're willingly choosing not to be here, then they're straying. They're outside of the fold. They're outside of the protection of God. They're willing to stray. But the best way to get them back is be patient with them. You know, multiple people reach out to them so that they see, okay, it's just not the pastors, it's just not the deacons, it's just not, you know, my little group of friends or whatever. So let's say Miss Martha, right? Let's say...
Why are you coming and picking you up? Get in the car, girlfriend!
Well, yeah, let's say Miss Martha stops coming to church here for a while. And, you know, 1 week, I don't get too worried at 1 week because things happen. You know, they're sick, they're traveling, you know, whatever. 2 weeks, still not too worried, but then I'm starting to think, okay, where is so-and-so? And then after 3 weeks, it's like, okay, no one needs, because I know from experience that you miss 1 week, it becomes easier to miss 2 weeks. You miss 2 weeks, it becomes easier to miss 3 weeks. And so... But at the end of the day, everybody in the church can reach out to a person. But ultimately, it has to be that person's decision that they are going to see the importance of church. That they're going to prioritize church and, you know, being here and assembling. Because, you know, if they're not assembling, they're not getting grounded in what the Lord has for them. They're not getting grounded like these things that we're going through today and last weeks and the weeks to follow. You know, these are all good things. Like today, Brother Kenny and Miss Rose, they're sick. Or at least Miss Rose is. And so they couldn't be here. That's understandable. And then, you know, let me encourage you. You go on vacation, you know, that doesn't mean we go on vacation from God. You know, find yourself a church to go to while you're on vacation. That doesn't mean you have to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night like you would here or whatever the case may be. But you're on vacation, get to a Sunday morning service somewhere. Get to a Sunday night service somewhere. And or get to a Wednesday night service. Depending on wherever your travels might take you. And I'll tell you.
I'm going to see a lot of churches.
Oh, yeah, you are. And you will see a lot of different churches, too. And we had a lady at our church in Philly, Miss Alice. She went to home to Ohio one time to visit her daughter. And she went to a church one Sunday, and not one person ever said hello to her. She went, sat on the back pew, and that should never be our church. We have visitors come in, make sure you make them feel welcome. Make sure you make them feel at home. Make sure that, you know, they get sick of you say hello so much. And, you know, so we need this faithful tendency. And then... you know, back up to that point there on just the Christian fellowship. The Christian fellowship there. You know, one of the things I love about the church is, and I kind of started it, but now Miss Martha's kind of taken it and run with it. And that's the idea of the cards that we do. You know, she makes sure now, you know, pretty much every week, you know, someone who has a birthday coming up, they get a birthday card. someone that that's been gone, somebody that's been sick. She makes sure that we send them a card. You know, that helps people feel, you know, remembered and feel accepted. That's right. And so we need to have that. And so this is the and then last two. It needs to be a church that is praising God. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Listen, we need to be able to praise God. So during church, you know, if the Lord speaks to you, you can say amen. You know, you want during a song, if songs really speak to you, you raise a hand. You know, feel free to raise a hand. That's right. Yeah, exactly. You know, because years ago, and some pastors are like this. Some pastors want dead silence in the church. You know, crickets. I'm not that type of pastor. Our church in Oklahoma, they amen. They were vocal. We sang out. We praised the Lord. And that's the type of church we need to be. We need to praise the Lord.
I've held my tongue so many times.
Yeah, no. Women can say amen in church too. Yeah. And see, a lot of churches, they use that verse, you know, women ought to keep silent in the church. That's just talking about teaching. That's talking about preaching. And
we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting.
And so we need to praise God. And then the last part is the church needs to be a soul-winning church. The church needs to be a soul-winning church. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We need to be a church that we are concerned about souls that are lost, that about souls that are, you know, they're dying without Christ and they're going to hell. And so we need to be concerned about that. And so we're going to stop there. And next week we'll pick up part three, and we'll look there at the people and the personnel of the church. But any questions regarding the services of the church this morning? All right. If not, let's pray. And we'll be dismissing. I believe choir practice is here at 10:45.